So page 7 on lecture 3 gives a solution of the problem of page 6 of lecture 3. So I'll just go through the problem very, very quickly. The problem is to compute a confidence interval for the parameters in the Poisson process. And you have observed the process in 5 years. You've observed 31 excesses, and lambda is the parameter of the Poisson process. It's the expected number of excesses per year. So move. This was on page 6. Now going to page 7. Page 7 on lecture 3, we have the solution. The likelihood function for the Poisson process we've seen many times by now. So capital L of lambda is lambda t to the power n divided by n factorial times e to the minus lambda t. So if you take the logarithm of this, you get logarithm of little l of lambda. Well, you get n log lambda plus n log t. I mean, the log of lambda t to the nth is that. And then you get log m factorial minus log m factorial, the minus because the n was on the bottom. And then you take the logarithm of e to the minus lambda t, which is minus lambda t. The next line, you take the derivative of the logarithm of lambda t with respect to lambda. So the derivative of the first term is n over lambda. The derivative of the second term is zero. The derivative of the third term with respect to lambda is zero. And the derivative with respect to the fourth term is t. So you get to maximize log little l of lambda, you get the equation that you should set this derivative equal to zero. And this is actually what you've seen before. So lambda hat is n over t. N was 31 and t was 5 years, so it's 6.25. So that's the estimate of the parameter of the Poisson process. Then the information matrix equals the second derivative of log of lambda t with respect to lambda. So we have to take the expression on the row above and take the derivative with respect to lambda, and then have a minus sign. And this gives you n over lambda 2. So if you want to use the observed information matrix, then you estimate the variance of lambda hat, the estimate of lambda, by minus 1 over I of lambda hat, which is just what you had on the row above but turned upside down and replacing lambda squared by lambda squared hat. So we're replacing lambda with this estimate. And then you get the 95% confidence interval. It is then you take the estimate, you subtract the 0.975 quantile of the standard normal distribution multiplied by the estimated standard deviation. The estimated standard deviation, of course, again, is the square root of the estimated variance. And you get the upper limit as lambda hat plus this k.975 times square root of lambda 2 hat divided by n. And if you insert the numbers, you get, this is the confidence interval, the 95% confidence interval for lambda is 6.25 minus 1.96. Presumably you know this number by heart. You have it in your tables, or better, in your cell phone. So k.975 is 1.96. And then you you should have square root of lambda squared over n, lambda squared, and square root of lambda squared is lambda, and lambda hat is 6.25, and square root of n is square root of 31. So the lower limit of the confidence interval is 6.25 minus 1.96 times 6.25 divided by square root of 31. The upper limit is the same, except you have a plus instead of a minus. So that was the end of page 7. And a very general thing comes on page 8. So page 8 in lecture 1, and that is the delta method. And the idea here is, now we had some parameters before, and then we estimated the parameters, and then we wanted to somehow measure the uncertainties in the estimations, how far they could be off, and we did confidence intervals. But now, often, it's not precisely the parameters you're interested in, but some function of the parameters. Very typically in this course, you will not be interested in, say, the mu, sigma, gamma. You will be interested in quantiles, which can be gotten from these parameters by simple formulas. So what we're interested in is typically something which is on the first line, something I call eta, which is g of theta. So g is a function, and you're interested in estimating a and theta are the parameters. So you're interested in estimating this function of the parameter. So writing it out, you're interested in estimating g of theta 1 up to theta d as a function of the parameters. Typically here, g would be the formula for a quantile expressed in terms of the parameters. These are simple formulas. You've seen one or two of them before. And now, how does one estimate those? Well, in the completely easy way, we estimate theta by just putting the maximum likelihood estimates of theta into g. So your estimate eta hat is just g of theta hat, that is j of theta 1 hat up to j of theta d hat. So here you get the estimate of the functions of the parameters, and this is what you typically are interested in. But now we want to find confidence intervals or measures or uncertainties of eta hat too. And for this, it's the next formula. We look at the gradient of g of theta. So we compute the gradient of this function g. So the gradient is just the vector where the first element is the derivative with respect to theta 1, the second element is the derivative with respect to theta 2, and so on. So for example, for the peak or threshold model, you would have this g as a function of lambda, sigma, gamma, and the first thing would be the derivative with respect to lambda, the second would be the derivative with respect to sigma, and the third with respect to gamma. And then we're going to use this, and of course this delta g of theta, or I haven't even written the g, I've just taken away the g to make things simpler, then this you estimate it by just plugging in the estimates in the function. And then the very convenient and useful result is that eta hat is asymptotically normal with mean eta, and variance, the gradient times the inverse of the information matrix times the transpose of the gradient. So, and the easy way of estimating this is by taking the gradient, plug in the estimates, take the observed information matrix, the Hessian, minus the Hessian at the maximum, and then multiply it by the gradient transpose. And of course, as soon as you know this is asymptotically normal with the correct mean, eta, the thing you're trying to estimate, and you know and have an estimate of the variance, then you can construct confidence intervals for eta in the same way as the confidence intervals for theta, which we did in the previous page. And this works well if G is approximately linear, and not so well otherwise. And there are further methods which one sometimes should use instead, and we will mention them a little bit later on. The first one is something called profile likelihood confidence intervals, and that's covered very well in the Cole's book. The other possibility is bootstrap confidence intervals. I'll talk about this a little bit later. So now an exercise, a pretty difficult exercise, but I think it's a very good idea if you look at it at least a little bit before you look at the solution, which comes on the previous page, the following pages. So this is on page 9, and what the exercise is to compute a confidence interval for the 95 quantile in a generalized Pareto distribution where you have had the observations, the numbers, x1, x2, up to x capital N, so maybe 30, 31 numbers, 0.1, 0.2, whatever they get. And to do that, well, a little bit of the details comes from page 9, but the rest comes on later pages. And I'll stop here, and it's a good idea to try to think about how to solve the exercise, at least try to think a little bit before you listen to the next sound clip, because you get more out of it that way. So that's all for now. We end at page 9 of lecture 3.